This is Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour number three, Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN. Matt Brown and Mike Somich, thank you for spending your Saturday with us. Our very own VSiN Watch app, Sirius Channel 158. We've got YouTube TV, and of course, terrestrial stations across this great country of ours. Mike, Bryce Harper has been day-to-day with an elbow injury. Did come out that he is going to at least swing a bat, according to Rob Thompson there for the Phillies. This Phillies team is one that we were fairly high on coming into the season with the caveat that, hey, we understand that they're older and injuries are going to play a massive, massive role into how long that they can sustain being one of the better teams. And I honestly believe that they're one of the better teams. And when at full strength, when healthy, I think they're one of the better teams in the NL for sure. And so you look at them right now, they're leading that NL East only by a game over the Mets. But, you know, this is good news for them for sure, that it doesn't look like this is something serious for Harper.
Yeah, it looks like they dodged a bullet. Not going to be a multi-month injury here. Obviously, we'll see how this ends up panning out. But at this point, it looks like it's a bullet that they did dodge there. You got the Braves sitting 10 back now, Matt. I bet him to win the World Series at 25-1. Am I crazy? Like, I thought that Spencer Strider start was pretty good that we saw last week. Obviously, adding Acuna to the lineup makes them much more productive. They've kind of gone on a little bit of a lull since adding Acuna, but you have to think eventually they get the bats going. They're able to get into playoffs right around plus 120 right now to make the playoffs. I don't hate a 28-1 ticket.
Yeah, I actually don't like what I've seen from Strider. Velocity down. Here's the problem. When you're a two-pitch pitcher and you don't have that 99-100-mile-an-hour fastball, and then your fastball is just, and I say just, but this is the era that we live in. When it's only 95, 96, you know, and you're a two-pitch dude, I think it matters, you know? And so that's not saying he won't build up. Maybe this is an intentional build up to where he's not throwing at max effort. I don't know. I haven't talked to him. I have no sources. But just from what I've seen with my eyeballs and what the stats are telling me, I think it's going to be very difficult to be a two-pitch pitcher and work at 95, 96. Like, if he gets back up to that 98, 99, then it's a different story for me. But I think we see more of the guy that was superhuman before he got injured, I think is kind of going to be more of the of a mortal at 95, 96, you know?
Yeah, I do hear what you're saying. The velocity is still a little bit down. I thought that third start was significantly better than the first two. And to me, that was where it's like, okay, well, then there is some upside here that we're not just going to be stuck at a flat level as what we saw early in those starts, because that would have been an issue for this Braves team. I look at the Cubs and what happened when you inserted Kyle Tucker into that offensive lineup and how it allows Suzuki to be leading the MLB in RBIs. It set up PCA to be able to step forward as well, just because of the overall depth that gives the lineup. Now you're adding Acuna back in for a lineup that is very, very deep. If you look at how the Braves have Harris hitting eighth right now. I mean, that is insane. And you have these pitching issues in the Dodgers. The question...
He's terrible, though. Harris is terrible.
I'll take him over every other eighth hitter in the majors.
Oh, well, I don't have time to dig through or whatever, but I would snap call you on that. Back to our poker, you know, whatever. I would snap call you on that one. Like, without even looking, I'd find you another better eight-hole hitter.
Okay, well, consistent eight-hole hitter, right? Not these guys that jump around. Anyway, I think this Braves lineup is phenomenal. I think that they have the second-best lineup in baseball right now behind the Dodgers. If that's the case, I still think this team can make a run. The question is, can they get in? Because if they get in, I think they're dangerous.
I do think that there is upside in betting them in some fashion. I just don't know if it's the World Series. And I don't know if I feel like they've got enough to get it done there. Maybe it's an adjusted win total. I don't even know if they can get the division done. I mean, I think they need a lot of help to get it done in the division too. I mean, you can assume the Nats are going to fall off. So it's really trying to jump the Mets and Phillies there, but I think they'll probably need some help. And look, this injury stuff is very real. It's a very real concern with the Phillies. Soto hadn't been hitting the ball, you know, for the Mets yet. You have to assume that he will, but maybe he won't. I mean, like, we always talk about regression, Mike, as if it's like just going to happen instantly. I mean, maybe Soto has a bad year. I know a guy of his pedigree, we don't assume ever has a bad season and isn't going to have a bad year, but maybe he just has a bad year. Who knows?
Yeah, it's like after contract year. It's not, we've seen that one before, haven't we, Matt? The switching of the scenery, a big contract, and all of a sudden you don't hit the baseball nearly as well. 11-1 feels a little short right now. on the Braves to win the division. That's my one issue with it. I bet it last week at plus 750. I don't love that ticket. They've had a little bit of a swoon since, and now you're getting 11-1. I'm less bullish on it than I was even a week ago, just because of the fact that, like you said, you got to pass two teams, and now you're 9.5, 10 back versus where you were 7.5, 6.5 back. That those extra three games matter in the long run when it's two teams that you really need to jump, not just one single team you're trying to run down.
So we are getting going over there at the Memorial with the guys at the top of the leaderboard. So Nick Taylor and Ben Griffin are leading this thing. We're at 7-under right now. They're going to tee off in about 5 minutes. Akshay Bhatia and Scotty Scheffler just got going here on hole number one. Akshay sitting at 5-under. Scotty's sitting at 4-under. Jordan Spieth is even through two. He's sitting at 3-under. Sam Burns even through one at 3-under, as is Shane Lowry. Xander Schauffele, T8 at 2-under. He's even through two, as is Tom Hoagie at that same number. Sepp Straka, your big mover of the day, 4-under through 14, has moved Sepp Straka into the top 10. He's T10 at 1-under. So again, birdies at a premium out there today, Mike, and a lot of bogeys. As you start to kind of scroll down and get into those mid 30s, you're looking at a whole bunch of dudes at plus 3, plus 4, plus 2, 3, 4, 5 today out there on this course. So we'll see. Scotty Scheffler, like you were saying, plus 175 heading into the day to win this tournament. Very, very tough to talk anybody off of making that bet when it looks like the course is playing fairly tough. Who do I trust the most? The best player in the world.
Yeah, look at this. I got CLV before he even hits a golf ball.
Yeah.
Plus 150 now. We're 25 cents shorter than earlier when I got him at plus 175. Dude. So, hey, look, already just crushing the cap.
Yeah. Dude, he just teed off. His first drive, the apex of the drive was 107 feet in the air. Like, he hit it 10 stories
high. Sounds like me.
Yeah. He hit it 10 stories high.
He's got my height on the driver.
Yeah, it's absolutely insane watching these dudes do what they do. I can't even put into words. All right, let's get back real quick, give you our thoughts here on the Knicks and the Pacers. Pacers are up 3-2 in this series. Game 6 is tonight. They can close it out and head to the finals against the Thunder, in which they will be massive dogs. But, and we both think that it's Thunder, no, whatever. But neither here nor there, we had a game tonight that we need to handicap. This is currently sitting at, again, I'm going to bring this up. Oh, wow, Mike. Screen flashes. Look at this breaking news stuff right here on the deal. The 4.5 at MGM just went to 3.5. It moved a full point. It skipped the 4 and went all the way to 3.5. So somebody bought hard on the Knicks at 4.5, which, again, you know, you got the best number in the market. I mean, that's not crazy that somebody would see that and be like, okay, that's an off-market number. I'm gonna buy it. But they bought it so much it went to 3.5.
Yeah, big move there. Big jump down to 3.5. I like the other side. I like the Pacers here. Mm-hmm. If I'm playing this game, I'm looking at all totals, and I was able to put something together, put this in the account here. So it's Pacers minus 9.5 over their 112.5 point total. You can get plus 274. That juices up the minus 9.5, which is plus 204, another 70 cents. And if they win by 10 points, they are going over their point total. I don't see a world where this is a 10-point game and it's 105-95. I think this is one where Indiana is able to score, we'll call it 125 to 110, somewhere in that range. So played some Indiana alt lines and then put it with the Indiana team total over.
Yeah, if you're wondering, guys, what these point props look like out there, in this one, Jalen Brunson is sitting at 30.5. Carl Anthony Towns at 22.5. Pascal Siakam, who has just stepped up. And I heard a lot of different handicaps for this series, Mike. I heard a ton of different both sides. I heard a ton of people that even like the Pacers in this series. Nobody was like, you know who the X factor is? Pascal Siakam. Like, nobody was like, Pascal Siakam is the X factor. He has definitely been the X factor here for the Pacers. His point total, 21.5. in this game. Haliburton at 20.5. OG is sitting at 15.5, as is Bridges. Miles Turner at 14.5. Oh, look at me with a little bit of, you talk about your CLV. Nesmith up to 12.5 now. So I got there me a go. Little, yeah, got me a little bit of CLV there. So then the 11.5, 10.5. Let's see. Where are we at? Hart is at 9.5. Hart's an interesting one, right? Because Hart just seems like he's out there to, Hart just seems like he's out there to rebound at this point.
he does, yeah.
Like 9.5 points, like I kind of want to play the under even though it's less than 10 points, because it's like, it seems like he's just out there to rebound and get rid of the ball and throw it to somebody else.
Well, we've also seen the numbers or the minutes improve for both Wright and Shamet here in the last couple games as well. And Hart is one of those guys those minutes would come away from if you do see both of them ending up playing 10 minutes. I would take the under on Hart, but it's not going to end up in the account. But if you told me I get 100 map bucks, I'm playing under, not over.
Yeah, it's very interesting. So what? Okay, let's go to the very top then to kind of close out this segment. Jalen Brunson, 30.5. Do you think there's any correlation at all to how the game goes as to whether he gets there or not? And I'll give you my little two cents real quick. I kind of don't, because they're not going to like wave the white flag until literally 90 seconds left in the game or 2 minutes left in the game, because like you lose and you're done anyway. You're going home. You're not saving them from injury or whatever. And so, you know, Brunson could have 27 with 2 minutes left, and then they're playing soft, and then he gets, I don't know. It's probably an over or pass for me actually on Brunson.
Yeah, I think the number's about right. And I agree with you. I think there are multiple game scripts where he goes both over and under here. If you tell me the Knicks win by 5 points, Brunson over, obviously likely there. But you could also see a big game from Towns he ends up under. Yeah. If you say that the Knicks lose by 15, you might see Brunson just getting it up when they start falling down to try and bring them back into that game. And so I don't think that there's a game script specifically that plays out toward a definite over or under for Brunson. I think the number's right. 30.5 is a pretty fair number here.
The scary problem, I think, with betting a Brunson under is his ability to get to the free throw line. And he has figured out against this team in particular how to get to the free throw line a ton. So like, that's just the only scary thing for me with him in this. But man, it is, it's going to be fun. Again, guys, if you want to bet the horses along with Mike, firstbet.com is the place to do it. 1stbet.com. Go in. You can place the bets on all the races across the entire world. And on some of those tracks, you can actually watch the races right there in the app. Use promo code VSIN200 when you do that. And when you sign up, you get up to a $200 sign-up bonus. Firstbet.com.
Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready, Set, Bet here on VSIN. Matt Brown and Mike Somich coming to you here on a Saturday. We are bottom of the fourth inning. Still 0-0 between the Reds and the Cubs. Reds yet to have a hit there in that one. Lodolo has given up 3 hits and including a hit by pitch, but has not had any damage come across for him. Unlike on the Blue Jays side of things, where damage has come across, a 3-run shot there in the top of the first by the A's. I think that was Soderstrom. It was Soderstrom.
Yep, it was.
Who hits the 3-run shot there for the A's. So they take an early 3-0 lead on the Blue Jays. Soderstrom had struggled mightily, Mike, in the month of May. A couple of dingers here in the last couple of days. So maybe he has calmed down a little bit. Of course, he was one of the main reasons that this team was doing so well in April, because this guy was just on fire. It seemed like he was hitting doubles or home runs like every single day out there. One of those guys that I talked about that had calmed down a ton for this lineup, but maybe he figured something out here and swinging the bat a little bit better. But early 3-0 lead there, A's on the Blue Jays.
Yeah, at one point he was actually leading the majors in home runs, Matt. Yeah. That was a while ago, or at least it feels like it, but you mentioned the bat starting to heat up as well. Be interested to see when this team gets to go back home and bat in that environment. But early lead there, 3-0 in a game which has the ability to have some runs here. We talked about it possibly going over between this Blue Jays and Athletics team. The A's putting up 3 in the first definitely helps that proposition.
Talking about hitting environments real quick, the Texas Rangers official Twitter account put out that Globe Life Field roof is scheduled to be open for today's game against St. Louis. So the reason that does matter, especially there for Texas, because I don't know if you guys know or not, but Texas is hot. And so we're going from basically 75 degrees to 90 plus degrees out there. And so warmer weather, certainly hotter air, lets the ball travel a little bit further as well. So a little bit of news there coming out of Arlington.
Yeah, it should help the bats get going. I've got the Cardinals there first 5 minus a half run plus 100. So hopefully that one comes home, and hopefully the spider bitten Patrick Corbin not able to keep it rolling.
You know, Mike, I guess I just didn't think to look behind me here. I was just so, our conversation today has been so great that I just, you know, didn't even think to look behind me. And then I hear this roar and I look and the book's like 3/4 full here on a Saturday morning. And I was like, what is going on? The roar was for a goal, PSG up 1-0. and in the soccer over there. There's some soccer things that are going.
Yeah, I don't. I think it's Champions League's final. Inter Milan and PSG taking on each other. I believe that's correct. Don't quote me on it. But I knew it's Inter Milan and PSG. So interesting you see that the team from Paris get the early goal there to go up 1-0.
I told you, I have some PSG Jordans that I got when I was in Paris last summer. Like, they're pretty sweet. They're like...
What are you doing, man?
They're pretty sweet.
What are you doing? They're just sitting in the closet connecting dots. Today was the day.
The one day to wear them. The one day that I can get away with wearing them. Because, like, after you know you buy stuff on a whim... And then you get it home and you're kind of like, why did I buy this? You know? So they're like, they kind of like fade. They're like black, white, and pink, but then the pink kind of like fades across the course of the shoe. And then I got it home and I'm kind of like, I don't like these. I don't like these.
Wear them tomorrow in a celebratory manner. PSG wins. And then you can show them off on air.
And then I can just huck it. Yeah. And just be done with it. All right. So that sounds,
and you got your one use.
Yeah. That sounds good to me. All right, let's get to our segment here. We love this, the Bet the Cycle segment, where we're going in. We're going to have single, obviously the easiest of our bets, double, triple, all the way up to a home run. For me, how about the Phillies? Big, juicy favorites here, minus 185, Mike. But hey, look, this is a Phillies team that has Jesus Luzardo going for them. And I love me some Jesus Luzardo since he left town in all those terrible places he was playing, getting over there into Philly. Looks more like the guy that we thought he was going to be whenever he gets up into the majors. And honestly, this Phillies lineup is just much, much better than the Brewers' current lineup that they are rolling out. So my single there. And again, not for everyone. Minus 185 is certainly a juicy line. I don't expect you to run out and throw this in the account. But hey, we're talking about the easiest of our bets, the single for me, Phillies.
Yeah, I'm going to go a little less juicy here for my single, Matt. I'm going to go with Nolan Arenado here. 2+ hits, runs, and RBIs. Minus 130, taking on Patrick Corbin today. Now we got the roof open. I don't see how this doesn't hit. Arenado in 52 at-bats, hitting close to 300 against Corbin, including 3 home runs. So we'll go with Arenado over 2+ hits, runs, and RBIs at minus 130. And producer Corey kicking it off here with Shohei Ohtani. 4+ total bases, and it's only plus 130. Tells you how much Shohei Ohtani has been crushing the baseball lately. So single for him is 4+ total bases for Shohei here at plus 130, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, he'll get it in one swing.
I'm not arguing it.
Yeah, I mean, he'll get it in one swing. I mean, that's basically what's going on with that one. My double is going to be the Twins and the Mariners. And look, I'm going to play the over in this one. And Mike... I understand whenever you kind of look at this and you see Bailey Ober has been pretty good and you got Bryce Miller has been pretty good. Oh, I didn't even see. It's actually moved up a half a run. So I'm on the right side of this one, I guess. The market has told me I'm on the right side of this one, Mike. So it's up to 7.5.
How could it lose?
Yeah, in this one. But honestly, the Twins lineup is starting to hit the ball a little bit better now. They've actually started to swing the bat like at least somewhat decently, where they were really just ice cold there for a long time. They were defying all odds in that win streak that they had because they just weren't scoring a ton of runs. It was just getting it done with the arms, but they're hitting much better now. This Mariners team that I thought was going to be really terrible hitting the ball is actually hitting the ball pretty well too. And I know you've got some good arms out there, but a flat 7 is just so low in today's environment. It does not look like it's going to be bad hitting conditions over in Seattle. So the over on the flat 7 for me seemed like the play.
I did not play it, but I'm not going to argue against it. Ober been one of those interesting players. Looks like we got another goal there in the Champions League.
Yes,
match.
I know. I had to flip around. Like, look at that. It's another
PSG goal. I see them celebrating by a flag.
Another PSG goal.
Another PSG goal. The sneakers are coming out tomorrow, baby. Yeah. I'll wear them. You better.
Yeah.
You better. I will be upset if I do not see them on the camera there tomorrow. Double for me, CJ Abrams, 3+ hits, runs, and RBIs against Brandon Pfaadt, who's pitching for the Diamondbacks. I like the over in this game. I wanted to find a player prop I liked. For me, CJ Abrams, 3+ hits, runs, and RBIs. You can catch that at plus 130 there. Should be leading off for a Nats team that when they get their bats going, they can put some runs together. So hopefully we get a leadoff hit, get them knocked in, and then clear this out a little bit later in the day. For producer Corey, we're going to Francisco Lindor, 4+ hits, runs, and RBI sitting at a nice little plus 230 price. You see what he's doing here, Matt?
Yeah.
The singles plus 130, the doubles plus 230. I bet there's a 3 in front of that triple number for producer Corey, Matt.
Is this a peek behind the curtain? Is that what we're doing here? All right. So for me, my triple, I'm going to play the Nats on the money line here against the Diamondbacks. And Mike, you go in and you look, and I know that we've had mixed results from Soroka, but honestly, he's been very serviceable for this Nationals team. that weirdly has just been a little bit more feisty. You know, we were calling the A's feisty at the beginning of the year, and this Nats team has just been a little bit more feisty than I think that we thought. And then you look at Brandon Pfaadt, and you go in and you're kind of like, you know, he just is what he is, Mike. He is a 4 ERA dude that has low swinging strikes, that has a low K rate. His K rate is down 6% this year from last year. He's not getting those swinging strikes. By the way, his BABIP against him is 271. We know league average is 300, so he's running on the right side of variance there on that one as well. I'm getting a decent little plus money here on what I think is it probably about an even pitching match in all of this, and maybe even a little bit more in my favor if Pfaadt can start to run more towards what these numbers say he should be. So I'll take the plus money here on the Nats.
I almost went Nats first five because I didn't want to deal with the Nats bullpen. Yeah. And I do agree with you. I think there's an advantage in the starting pitching. I think the lineups are about even. I obviously a little advantage toward the Diamondbacks, but I do want to bet against Pfaadt every chance I get. So CJ Abrams was my double there. For my triple, give me Ronald Acuna Jr. to take one out of the park here, plus 360 for an Acuna home run. We talked about the hitting conditions down there in Atlanta, wind blowing out. Acuna already has a couple on the season since he returned. I think he has an opportunity to be able to take one out tonight against Walker Buehler. So we're going to go Acuna Jr. on the homer, plus 360. And Matt, producer Corey let us down. The triples plus 275, not the 300 that we were hoping for. And he's going to take Tarik Skubal, 9+ Ks, plus 275 there for the triple.
Hey, the Rockies are terrible and Senzatella is terrible. So yeah, I'm gonna sit here. I'm getting 2+ bases with Lindor, Nimmo, and Vientos. That's plus 575 for my homer.
I don't hate it. Just take the over team total bases, 14.5. Colby gave that one out earlier in the show. Homer for me, I talked about Devers, one RBI plus 130. Let's go with two RBIs, plus 450 there for Devers, two RBIs. Put it all together. Arenado, 2+ hits, runs, and RBIs. Abrams, 3+ hits, runs, and RBIs. Acuna Jr. homer and Dever, 2+ RBIs. You'll get paid out at plus 8360. Not bad there. For producer Corey and his home run, the return of Mike Trout. He wants a Trout homer today. Yeah. 1+ home run for Mike Trout at plus 320. We know Matt would like that. He's got a Trout season ticket over. So his single, Ohtani, 4+ total bases. Double Lindor, 4+ hits, runs, RBIs. Triple Skubal, 9+ Ks. And a Trout homer rounds it out to plus 11,854, Matt.
Quick note there on Mike Trout. Hit fifth, Mike, for the first time in his career. So moved him down in the lineup a little bit. You know, see if maybe there can be some more opportunities. Some more RBI opportunity for him there in the fifth spot. Guys, we told you this a little bit earlier, but it is still the case. $199 for 14 months of VSiN Pro. Go in. You get all the best bets, the splits. You get the betting guides. You get to watch us live on the VSiN Watch app. VSiN.com/subscribe. $199 for 14 months.
Welcome back to Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN. Matt Brown and Mike Somich. And Mike, we said we didn't want to bet this A's and Blue Jays game because we didn't like either one of these pitchers. We see the A's go for three in the first inning. The Blue Jays come back. Two in the bottom of the first with two on still here in that one. So I think at least, you know, game is not over. Maybe it finishes 3-2 and whatever, but I think our handicap at least was on. These pitchers are terrible.
Yeah. This is the should have bet the over game of the day. Yeah. Last Sunday, it was the Chicago Cubs and the Cincinnati Reds where we talked about it and didn't bet it. This one, we talked about it, didn't bet it. And here we are with five in the first, already over the first five run total.
Not that I want to do that whole thing where people get mad at you and say that you've done some, you know, some jinxing or whatever. But I will say that the Reds don't have a hit against the Cubs. I'll just put it that way. The Reds don't have a hit. It's still early. Hey,
there you go.
Bottom of the fifth inning. But through five innings, Ben Brown has not allowed the Reds to get hit. Do you believe in that? No,
I don't believe in the jinx. I mean, I'm the one who we've had like multiple opportunities here. Well, how do you even work this, right? Because Pomerantz started the game.
He was an opener.
And then Ben Brown came in the second.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like the team no-hitter, which I don't count as no-hitters. Not real.
No good for
you?
Yourself. Okay. All right.
Nope. Don't count.
So if Ben Brown goes eight innings, he gets credit for nothing.
Nothing.
All right. That's one man's opinion. We'll see. We'll see. Now joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line to talk some NBA is Mitch Lawrence. You can find him over on SiriusXM NBA as well as on Mad Dog Radio Mitch, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, guys. You don't have to worry about the jinxing no-hitter unless you're sitting in the dugout where the guy is coming in, right?
Okay.
The pitcher. You don't have to worry about that. Okay, you can talk all you want about that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, for me, I don't think I'm putting bad juju out there into the universe. No. I'm actually praising the guy. I'm like, look how well he's doing, you know?
Right.
This is all
and
good
it'll
juju.
Be considered it'll be considered a team no-hitter probably if they do it.
So we'll see. As we sit right now, we are looking 4.5 in favor of Indiana at home in this one. You can find a 221. Right. You can find a 222 as far as the total goes. We know the scenario here. Indiana wins. They go on to the finals to lose to the Thunder. And if not, then we get a game number 7 here heading back to the Garden.
Yeah.
What do you think happens tonight in Indy?
I think the Pacers win. I think they cover, and I think it's the under. It's about, you know, I'm looking at a kind of a 110, 105 Indiana win, maybe 110, 103. You got to remember, it's the third game in 5 nights for these teams with travel to New York and then back to Indiana. Third game, 5 nights, that's hard. Travel, hey, the pressure, the stress. Listen, I think that favors a team like Indiana because A, they're home, and B, they're the deeper team. They have the quality depth. I know Tom Thibodeau has been playing his bench guys a little bit more to shut up the media, but also to try to win, obviously. But I think Indiana's depth here, better at home, better in this situation, more important here. And we all know they want no part of a game 7 back in New York. So I think all those things are in Indiana's favor.
Now, you mentioned third game in 5 days, and obviously this Pacer team is the deeper team in this spot. Do you think we see anything, we'll call it outside of the box here, from Indiana? We've seen them press full court or kind of semi-press full court to take some of the juice out of point guards' legs in the past. Do you think we'll see anything like that, a push the pace, the full court press, anything unique from Indiana to try and really put it to the Knicks?
They may try some of that. I think the biggest thing is we're going to see a much better effort than we saw in game 5. Where they just walked in and laid an egg and didn't even compete. And they were so disappointing. I don't think they gave themselves a chance at all. The Knicks basically ran them out of the gym from the get-go. So that was a total no-show performance. So you're going to see Indiana come back with a lot more aggression. Yes, they will try to, you know, make Brunson work even harder and, you know, get, you know, now we're into the deep part of this series and see if he fatigues at all by the third, fourth quarter. And I think they'll try to pressure New York into more turnovers because when the Knicks do turn the ball over, that works in Indiana's favor because it helps them with that pace, which we all know they want to run. And, you know, when they get out there and they can score 20, 25 points off the fast break, which they did in game 4, that's huge. Game 5, not so much, but game 4. So, yeah, I can see that all come into play. But the big thing for Indiana is they know that they put in a really horrible effort that could come back to bite them, you know, let's face it. But they also know that, remember, game 3 was that bad second half. The last time they were at home, of course, they won game 4. But that game 3 will also haunt them because they only scored, what, 42 points in the second half of that game and lost, and then it was a 2-1 series. So there are a lot of things I think Indiana's looking at in this situation, which they feel like, yes, this can enhance our chances of winning, pressuring the Knicks more, pressuring Brunson more, trying to get Karl Anthony Towns exposed one-on-one so he commits some stupid fouls to get him on the bench. You know, that's always a possibility, a good chance, I would say. So, yeah, I think all those things come into play.
Talking to Mitch Lawrence. Mitch, let's I'm looking at the top of the player prop board here. You got Brunson sitting at 30.5 points.
Yeah.
Is there any correlation at all to how this game plays out and to whether you would want to go over or under? Does a Pacers win lead you towards an under with Brunson, or could he easily still get there and the Pacers cruise in this game? Is there anything at all here with Brunson and that total being so incredibly high?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I haven't looked at his road home splits, mm-hmm. and I know he could get you, you know, 30, 31 points. I'm just wondering in this situation if he could get, you know, to 30.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's going to be an effort on Indiana's part to maybe have other people beat them, you know, rather than him, as hard as that can be. So, yeah, I think that if you like Indiana's chances, I think you go under with Brunson. I think that's a correlation. Now, obviously, if he really explodes, the Knicks have a better chance. But that this defense, and we're going to see how Naismith does. He had a bad shooting game the last game. Of course, game one was his night. He's been the best defender they've had on Brunson, and sometimes he's been great, and sometimes he's been just okay. That ankle, we'll see how that ankle is again as he's playing on that. But I think, yeah, there is a correlation. I think if Indiana can hold Brunson under 30, they've got a tremendous chance to win the game, because let's face it, you just don't know where you're going to get scoring from the Knicks in other places. You can't trust guys like Onunobi and Bridges. And Karl-Anthony Towns, if he's in foul trouble, which he tends to do in these playoffs, as we've seen, that could adversely affect their points from Karl-Anthony Towns. So Brunson almost, it's almost incumbent on Brunson to get you that 30 and a half.
Yeah, it feels like if the Knicks win, he also goes over, something you kind of put together there if you are playing the Knicks as the Brunson over as well. Now, with the Pacers' depth, we saw some injury concerns for them there in game five. Supposedly everything's okay. We'll see what actually happens there. We've seen Siakam step up in a big way during this series for this Pacers team. What role players do you think play the key part of this Pacers victory tonight?
I could see a guy like Obi Toppin having a big night at home. Of course, he's made a big shot in this series. What was it, closing out the Knicks in game four, that three-pointer, I think it was. I could see him. I could see, listen, I could go right back to the game one. Naismith, who is a, when he's on, he's a tremendous three-point shooter. I could see him coming in and having a big game. You know, both he and Halliburton didn't do much at all, like everybody else in the last game in New York. Now, Halliburton's got to be the guy, too. I mean, let's not forget, he went from an all-time game where they went up 3-1 with all the great scoring and his 15 assists and no turnovers, that historic type of triple-double, to basically a no-show performance. As he said, you know, he's got to impose his will. He's got to put his stamp on this game. So it starts there. It starts really with your best players versus your role guys. He's got to be great. Siakam's got to be great. And then after that, we'll look for guys like, you know, Naismith, maybe a little Obi Toppin, and see what we get from them.
Mitch, let's just say the Pacers do close things out. They move on. It'll be them and the Thunder. How does that series play out?
Not well. It wouldn't be well for the Knicks either. I think it's a little bit better for the Pacers, because I think they can win a game, maybe two, because they've got, you know, they go, what, 9, 10, 11 deep for Rick Carlisle. But they're going to be hard pressed to score against that great Oklahoma City defense. I think the Knicks, if they were in it, I think that could be a sweep, because could you see Oklahoma City allowing Brunson anything? That defense, it would really, I mean, he'd be hard pressed to do anything in that series. So I think Oklahoma City is the prohibitive favorite. This looks like, even, you know, I would say right now Indiana would get a game. I'd give them one game tops. I think Oklahoma City's biggest, you know, hurdle was Denver and what they had to do against Denver, improving their championship medal. You know, it's funny, all the people in Oklahoma City, the players too, had this whole narrative about, well, how come you guys don't believe in us? And, you know, we won 68 games, because they hadn't done anything in the playoffs before this year. They had bowed out early last year against Dallas. And until you prove it in the playoffs, and they've proven it this year, they've proven it in a huge way. I mean, against Denver, being down in that series a couple of times and coming back and having some big clutch performances from big players, Jalen Williams, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, that's the type of thing that goes a long way with all of us. You have to prove it in this sport, and they've done a great job proving it. So I think, yeah, they are for real. They're legitimate, obviously. And I think Indiana would just be, this would be a rout.
He is Mitch Lawrence. Find him over on SiriusXM and Mad Dog Sports Radio. Thanks for the time, buddy.
Set Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Final segment here, Ready, Set, Bet on a Saturday. Matt Brown and Mike Somich. About 15 more minutes with you guys. Nick Taylor goes out, bogeys the first two holes. So now Ben Griffin has a two-stroke lead over in the Memorial there at Muirfield Village Golf Club in Dublin, Ohio. Akshay Bhatia has a bogey, so he has fallen to four. Scottie Scheffler just even, but he's lurking there at four. Xander Schauffele, one under through five. So he's sitting at three, as is Jordan Spieth, as is Shane Lowry. Sepp Straka has the round of the day going at five under, Mike, but he has run out of holes. He is out there on the 18th as we speak. He's in the middle of the fairway, but he has run out of holes, so maybe he can make a run on a Sunday.
Yeah, we'll see if he's able to make a run on Sunday. I'm a Scotty fan now. I told you, Scotty plus 175 at the start of the day. Just want Scotty. Just give me like one back going into tomorrow, and I'll wrap this one up.
Maybe we'll start a new thing in the final segment of Matt and Mike are Idiots, and it's like the thing that we mentioned that we should have bet, and then like we didn't, and whatever. As this game between the A's and the Blue Jays, where we talked about how much we hated the pitchers, and that's the reason we wanted to stay away. Well, hey, idiots, when you hate the pitchers, then what do? You bet the over.
You play the over.
Three in the top of the first for the A's. Blue Jays come back. Four in the bottom of the first for the Blue Jays. Oh, yeah, are we done yet? No, two more now across in the top of the second for the A's. We hadn't even gotten to the bottom of the second yet, Mike. There's nine runs in this game already. If you hate the pitchers, idiots, then just bet the over.
Yeah, this would definitely be the winner for today.
Yeah.
Over in two and 1.5 innings, and yet both of us did not play it.
God, I mean, that's just what maybe we'll start adding to all of that when it's all said and done. Okay, we are going to talk our best bets here, of course, brought to you by GBank, as we do each and every single show. And we'll start off out on the track. We have not run these races yet over at Churchill, so still time to get in on these. Let's head to race number 8.
Yeah, about 40 minutes to race number 8, the Shawnee Stakes here. I'm going to take the number 6, Alpine Princess, who is getting back to a fast track today. Why is that important for her? She's not very good when it's a off track in any way, shape, or form. The last two races over and off track, cuts back to the 1.6 distance, which she is very good at. Like the 6-1 price, and I want to play against the one horse, Where's My Ring, as well, who is your morning line favorite at 5-2. So give me the number 6, Alpine Princess, in the 8th race. And then we'll move ahead to the 10th race here, Churchill Downs. This is the Grade 3 Blame Stakes. I like the favorite here in post time, the number 9 horse. You get 3-1. There's a bunch of pace in here. Should be pretty quick early, which sets up well for post time, who was very good in the Cigar Mile, very good in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile to end last year. Came back this year, ran a very nice race off the layoff. Now this is second off the layoff. This has been the point that they are, the race they're pointing to. I think you see a very good effort from post time in this spot at 3-1. And you're going to get that price because Mystic Dan's in the race, a Kentucky Derby winner from last year. He's going to take money, which should allow the post time price to sit right around that 3-1 morning line, Matt.
This is not betting advice. Race 8, I do have Alpine Princess going with Jin Jin, Royal Spa, and Corningstone. So that's my trifecta right there. That is,
I like that.
24 different bets. If you want to bet $1, obviously it's going to cost you $24. If you go 50 cents, only $12. And then,
that's race 2367.
Yes. 2367. And then hashtag not betting advice. Race number 10. I do have your horse in there, of course, in, what were we doing? Post time. Yes. Yep. Post time going along with, and I asked you about this, you know, we were fading Mystic Dan, but the fade was like, obviously, we're not picking him to win. Do we think he's at least good enough to maybe podium? And you said, you know what? I've got him running. If you're going to pick four horses, fourth. I've got him running fourth. Maybe he ends up third. So in a minute. So, okay. So we got Mystic Dan going in there. We got Alexander Helios and Hall of Fame going in that one as well. Mike, again, that is 24 different bets. If you box that for a trifecta, if you want to bet $1, it's $24. You want to bet 50 cents, it's $12. So you can bet both of those for 50 cents and cost you $24 if you got $24 in your account. Again, hashtag not gambling advice.
But I will say this, you're like 50% on these random trifectas. You're the three horse is dangerous in that the 10th race, Antiquarian, who's 15-1 on the morning line. If you lose, he's the reason why.
Okay, well, maybe I probably will.
You can't bet them all.
Yeah, so can't bet them all. Okay, so let's go to the rest of our bets here. We'll go over to the hockey side of things. Yes, doesn't start until next week, but at least if you want to get your bets in early, who knows? This line may move. I mean, you know, this series price may move. We don't know exactly how the market is going to respond to everything. So you went ahead and did put in a series price on the Panthers.
Yeah, I've believed in this Panthers team the entire playoffs. I had the Lightning beating them in the first round, but I consistently said, hey, whoever wins that is going to win the East. The Panthers were able to do so. I don't believe in this Oilers team, and it's cost me in three straight rounds for different denominations of capital there, but I do think the Panthers are a better team, and they repeat to lift the cup, so I'll take them -110. A very smaller wager for me, not a massive one like it was last time, Panthers against the Hurricanes. And then give me Sam Bennett, 30-1 to win the Conn Smythe. He's leading the playoffs in goals right now with 10. The next highest goal scorer in the series is Leon Draisaitl with 7. We saw Connor McDavid win this award last year when the Panthers won. I highly doubt you see McDavid win back-to-back years if they don't win the cup. So I think you can eliminate all of the Oilers if they if the Florida Panthers win the cup. I don't like Bobrovsky at the price. I would rather take Alexander Barkov if I was going to take someone else on the Panthers here. But Bennett's sitting at 30-1, whereas if he puts up four or five goals in this series, it's going to be hard not to give him the trophy. I'll take a shot here with Sam Bennett at a nice price, Matt.
Over on the baseball side of things, we talked a little bit about that Nationals and Diamondbacks game. You're going to look at the over here. Like I said, I took a stab at Nationals on the money line. It's a big money line. You're getting like plus 160 on that thing, so it's not likely to hit, but like I said, I handicapped these pitchers kind of even in this, and getting the big plus 160 number was worth it to me. You're just going to go for runs.
Yeah, give me the straight over here. I think both these pitchers are gettable, and I'm not going to make the same mistake we made in the A's and the Blue Jays game. If I was playing a side, I'd be first five Nats. I would want to focus in just on those Brandon Pfaadt innings. He's not been very good this year. I do think that this Nationals offense gets to him.
What do you like in that Cardinals game?
I'm going to lay the half run with the Cardinals here. Plus 100 in the first five. You got Sonny Gray on the hill for the Cardinals, taking out a Texas Rangers offense that has been struggling. You add in that fact that Patrick Corbin, who is probably the worst starter to still have a job over the last 6 years in Major League Baseball, going to be on the hill for the Texas Rangers today. The roof's open. I think the Cardinals hit the ball well. We'll lay the half run there in the first five at plus 100. And give me Rafael Devers, RBI, in this in the Atlanta-Boston game today. Very good hitting conditions, nice warm temperatures with the wind blowing out in Atlanta. Devers 2-for-5 so far against Schellenbach as well. So we'll go with Devers RBI at plus 130. And then last one for me, Matt, I'm going to take the Tigers, lay the run and a half with Tariq Skubal today. I like the pitching matchup, obviously, with Skubal against the Royals. And if you look at Waka's numbers against the Tigers hitters, they're close to batting 300 and 120 plus at bats. So good enough sample size, I think, that the Tigers able to get to them. So Tigers laying the run and a half there at minus 112.
Played over 8.5 in the White Sox and Orioles. Davis Martin versus Dean Kremer. You look at both of these dudes, their expecteds, Mike, are in that like mid to high fours. So they give up a bunch of runs here. Orioles, I understand, been very disappointing, but there have been times in which they have been able to hit bad pitchers. And I think you get one today. And honestly, the White Sox have done the same, and Kremer's bad as well. So I took the over 8.5 there in that one. And over in the NBA side of things, I took Neesmith over 11.5. Now that is up to 12.5. We just found out. So I guess I'm on the right side of that one, Mike. Yes, we're dealing with a little bit of an ankle deal with him. I'm trusting the player and said that, it hurts a little bit, but I'm fine. I'm going to be out there. They're going to need him to score at least 12 points in this game if he's going to, if this team is going to succeed. It can't be all on everybody else. And so I think he bounces back from a pretty bad performance where he only played 16 minutes last game anyway. I think we would have been looking at that 12.5 from the get-go here had he played a little bit better. So now that it's up to the 12.5, I think that's where they wanted to be with this in the first place. So give me the over 11.5 there on Neesmith.
Yeah, don't hate the over on the on Neesmith there. Should get more minutes than what we saw last game. I did play a Pacers minus 9.5 team total over parlay as well as plus 273 there if you want to put the two of them together.
Yeah, one thing I will say too as well, just, you know, if you like the Knicks side of things, it's probably because they played really well and figured out how to slow this thing down. Like, I don't know if I'm taking the points, Mike. I'm probably just playing them on the money line.
Yeah, I agree. You know, or series. Take plus 300 on the series if you like the Knicks.
Guys, it's the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and Visa. All you got to do is open up a GBank Visa signature credit card over there in the first 90 days. Deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger the first $500 $500 trifecta. You'll get a $200 cashback reward on your Visa signature card. You also get a $100 deposit match from First Bet. And to complete the trifecta, you'll get a Visa Pro subscription as well. That is VSiN.com/GBank, VSIN.com/GBank. It's a one-time promotion. It's a limited to customers opening a new account in response to this specific offer. And you can't request to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions do apply. Again, VSiN.com/GBank. Woo, Mike, we got a lot in today in a day that we didn't even talk college baseball, in which we're just going to say that LSU's going to win the whole thing. You know? So, I mean, we didn't even talk college baseball today.
If you're going to the College World Series, bring an LSU shirt, go through the tailgating. They will give you some good food and some free booze. And I'm excited to see those PSG sneakers, Matt. Don't let me down tomorrow.
Oh, I got to remember. Okay, I will set a reminder in my phone whenever I leave here to be sure and wear the PSG. Well, if they win. Like, did they win already? Well, maybe they won. Maybe they
They're
won
up
already.
2-0 early.
Okay, there we go. Like, we'll figure that out. Guys, that's all we can do here. And good luck on all your bets here on a Saturday.